all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, greetings and welcome to Brookside Baptist Church and our online service. Wherever you may be in the world, today our hope and our prayer is that God would speak to you as he speaks to all of us, that he might bring you comfort and peace at a time when it feels like chaos is reigning. As always, our goal at Brookside is to explore life together. And even though we might be apart, separated with lockdown orders, we can still come together on this platform and seek to understand God, his character, and his will for our lives. We would also encourage you today to take a moment to think about the events of 9/11. Father, we pray for those who are still dealing with loss and health issues as a result of that. And we would encourage you to pray for those people. So as you just saw, we have come in with the wonderful people from Emu Music and their song, All the People on Earth Do Dwell. We're very thankful that Emu Music is allowing us to include that in our service. So we're going to continue in a spirit of praise, and I'm going to invite Barbie and Graham Turvey to come up and read Psalm 145. Followed by that, we will have another song from Emu Music, the great song, How Great Thou Art. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Daryl. Good morning, everybody. When Daryl asked would I do the reading today, I looked up the commentary on Psalm 145 so that I could read it with meaning, and I found two very interesting things about the structure of this psalm. Firstly, if you read it in the Hebrew, and if you split verse 13 in half, it forms an acrostic poem, with each verse starting with a different consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So I'd like to challenge you all to write your own acrostic poem today in praise of God. You could choose the alphabet, but if the thought of the Q's and the X's and the Z's are a bit much, you could choose another word, maybe your name or maybe the word Sunday or anything you like, and write a word or a phrase or a sentence next to each letter to express your own feelings and thanks to God. That's the first thing. The second thing I learnt about the structure of this psalm is that it almost can be read in two voices, with one voice saying, yes, let's praise, come on, let's get together and praise God. And the other voice saying just why we should praise God, why he is praiseworthy. So I'm going to read the verses that encourage us to praise, and Graham's going to read the verses about why we should praise. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give you them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Graham and Barbie, and thank you for putting in that extra time to research the passage. What two great bits of information, and what a great idea. So I would echo Barbie and say, hey, go write an acrostic poem right now about God and about how you are feeling. Speaking of talking to God, we're going to invite Jim to come up and lead us in a time of prayer. So, Jim.
Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you, Father, that we can come and stand on holy ground. We're reminded of Moses, Father, as he saw the burning bush. He was told to take off his sandals because he's on holy ground. And Father, we're also reminded of the author of Hebrews when he told us that we could come and draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And Father, we are in a time of need. We need your mercy. We need your grace. Father, we've been in lockdown for a long time. Father, most of our face-to-face meetings is on the flat screen. Father, we long for the time when we can see one another in 3D, and Father, we can hug one another and greet one another and shake one another's hands. Father, thank you for technology that allows us to call, to text, Lord, to Zoom, Father, to chat, Father, to keep in contact with one another. And Father, in one sense, the lockdown has caused us to be closer together. Father, as we reach out to say good day to our friends and our neighbors, it's helped us be closer to you as we have time on our hands to read your word and to pray and to come and fellowship with you. But Father, there's also needs in our church. We pray for those that are alone. Lord, at least I have my wife, and Father, many of us have our spouses and our children, but Lord, we pray for those in our congregation that live by themselves. Father, we would pray that you would continue to help us to reach out to them to say good day, whether it be by text or phone call or an email, Lord, so we can communicate with one another. Father, we would ask that you protect us in the town of Muswellbrook from COVID. Lord, we know that it's close. Father, and we thank you for the medical staff that's taking COVID tests over the weekend, Lord, and we pray there be no more cases. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Daryl. It's not easy to preach, Father, to a camera. It's not easy, Father, to look out at, see faces when we're together with masks on. So we pray for a special empowering, Lord, that he'll realize that he's using your word to minister to our needs. Father, we think of our ministries that are not able to go on, so we pray for our children. Father, we thank you for the Colin Buchanan little five-minute things that are just helping to teach your word. We pray for our teenagers, Lord. And Father, we long for the day when we can meet again. Father, we know they're under stress, especially those that are in our church that may be in year 12 and year 11 and all the hard work that they have to do and the delay of the exams. But Father, we pray for each student to do their best. Father, in their homeschooling, for those parents, Lord, that are teaching and leading, those grandparents who may be helping. And Father, we long for the day when they can get back together in the classroom with their mates and their friends. We pray for our teachers. There's many within our church that, Lord, are teaching on Zoom, the extra workload that they have. And so we pray for each and every one of them. Lord, we pray for our missionaries. We pray for Christine Weston. And Father, I'm not sure if she's still in lockdown or not. Father, is not sure exactly where she lives in the city of Melbourne, Father, but pray for her in a university ministry. We pray for the Applebees in, Father, Cambodia. Lord, and I know I was talking to some friends in Vietnam, Lord, just yesterday, and they, in their 45th day of lockdown, and the two nations are close. We pray for Jeremy and Miriam, Father, in their situation, and thank you that they have recovered from COVID. And Lord, we think of Davinda, Lord, and his ministry is stopped, and all our scripture teachers, Lord, the ministry is stopped, and Lord, more than likely, scripture will not start this year. So we pray that you would strengthen each one, Father, as they prepare for next year. Lord, we thank you for those servants like Murray, who's working hard, Father, each week to help record this message, for Daryl for his studying and all the extra work that he needs to do. And we'd ask you to use your word in our lives today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Shouldn't be too hard.
Oh, hello. Colin here. Hi. Got my little nudge puppet. And I'm going to try something. All right. Have you heard of Easter? It's a very special time of the year. I wonder, do you know what the best thing about Easter is? The eggs. Sorry, as I was saying, do you know what the best thing about Easter is? The chocolate. It's little nudge. It's little Colin. Stop, I haven't finished. Do you know what the best thing about Easter is? The hot cross buns. Ooh, I'll get cross in a minute. Jesus is alive. Oh, wait, did you just... Yes, I did. I'm getting confused. Look, no, I want to read something from the Bible. It's very important. Well, I'll need to go then. Why? You'll need two hands. I will too. All right, thank you, little nudge. Wait, can I wave goodbye? All right, you wave. Go on. Thank you, finished. All right, little nudge, off. Stop, you're sitting on me. Sorry, nudge. Pop him over there. All right, good. Now, where were we? I was going to read the Bible, wasn't I? Yes, I remember now. When we read the Bible, and Easter's coming up in the scriptures, we read that Jesus says something very special in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Something special about what's going to happen. And it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Do you know what a ransom is? It means that Jesus paid the price to set us free. Jesus is our super savior. Now, we can read more in the Bible about what happened after he said that. And this is the last week of Jesus' life, the last few days. And lots of hard and sad and difficult things happened. Jesus had the last meal with his friends. We read about how sad and hard it was for Jesus to pray to his Father, "Not my will, but your will be done." And we read that he was betrayed by a friend, someone who pretended to be his friend but lied to him so that Jesus could be arrested by his enemies. And then finally we see that he's caught and punished and hurt. He didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't fair. And finally, everyone was against him and the crowds called, "Crucify him." And Jesus dies upon the cross and they laid him in the grave. But that wasn't the end. Because do you remember what the best thing about Easter is? Jesus is alive. He rose up from the grave. It's amazing and wonderful. Now, why is that good news for me and good news for you? Well, I'll tell you, when we believe in Jesus, when we trust in him, the death he died, we die with him. But the life he lives, we live with him. Jesus is the death crusher and the sin smasher. We learn that at Easter time. So, the best thing about Easter is Jesus is alive. He is our, got my patron, I'm going to sing a song, super savior. Can save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave again. Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave. He's a death crusher, death crusher, sin smasher, sin smasher. Who's the mighty Super Savior? Jesus. I'll do it with the actions. Ready? He's the death crusher, death crusher, sin smasher, sin smasher. Who's the mighty Super Savior? Jesus. Here we go now. You could fly around in this bit. Save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave. We go, look, look, here comes Jesus up, up and out of the grave. I think we should pray. It's good news that Jesus came up, up and out of the grave. It's the best thing about Easter. It's the best thing ever, anytime. So let's pray. I'll close my eyes to help me think about what I'm praying to God. You might like to too. Our dear Lord and God, we praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus, that he is the way and the truth and the life. We thank you that he was obedient. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And he went through that hard week, that difficult week, where he lost his friends and he was hurt. And he lost his life, but he did it as a ransom for many. And we praise you that Jesus came up, up and out of the grave. Help us to remember him, to remember that he's the death crusher and the sin smasher. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. Yes. Ooh, I like singing that song.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Colin. Right now, we're going to turn to our Bible reading. So hopefully you've got your Bible there or you've got your Bible on your smart device. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And I'm going to invite Elizabeth to come up and read that for us. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Daryl. The reading is concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. We ask, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come.
Thank you. Nice, short, but sweet Bible reading today. So if I was to ask you right now, or if I should say, if I was to say to you right now that there's a lot of misinformation out there, what would you think I'm talking about? Would you probably say, oh, that's an easy one, Daryl, you're talking about COVID. And I'm sure you would probably say, well, the ones who are causing the misinformation are those who have an opposite view to you. Am I right? Now, before you worry too much, I'm not about to launch into a COVID theory rant. But instead, I want to highlight today's topic of misinformation, the use of misinformation, and how it is still a problem today, just like it was a problem for Paul back then. The question of what is true and what is not. Misinformation is not a new problem. In fact, we can go through history and find lots of examples where misinformation was used. Did you know on the 21st of August in 1835, the New York Sun published a series of articles about discovering life on the moon? Or maybe we could look at something like H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. When they turned that into a radio adaptation, it was presented as breaking news, and people thought, ah, it is true, aliens have come. It is reported that it led to multiple cases of mass panic throughout the United States. Misinformation and rumors were the fuel of propaganda machines during the war. Misinformation throughout history has led to death and to suffering. Misinformation has led to families breaking down and peace being destroyed. Again, I bring up misinformation because it's the issue of today's passage and the world we find ourselves in. See, in chapter 2, Paul explains his reason for writing. It appears that the Thessalonians had become unsettled by a teaching that they had heard about that had been spreading through their community. A teaching that people said allegedly came from Paul or one of the others that said, hey, Jesus has come back. The day of the Lord is here. So Paul writes to these church and he says, don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by teaching that has allegedly come from us. And he points out if it's by prophecy, word of mouth, or letters, don't stress about the day the law of the Lord has come. If we take a moment and think about this, we have a picture of Christians being lied to about the coming or the return of Jesus. They'd been told that Jesus had come back to earth and that they were now living during the time of tribulation. Now, Paul doesn't address who started these rumors, but rather he points out how we should respond when we hear rumors, when we hear misinformation, when we're not sure if it's true or not. And it's a lesson for us to take today. How do we react to these things in an appropriate way? So let's look at that, shall we? I think it's essential to understand how misinformation gets in our heads. The first thing is, well, it happens when we believe everything others say. That's what's happening in the passage, right? Someone in Thessalonica said, it was Paul saying that Jesus had returned. And Paul says, wait, don't be alarmed by these rumors. I've told you what the truth is. It sort of hints at this, hey, if you want to know what I said, just ask me, write a letter to me. Another way that we can believe misinformation is by believing everything so-called important people say. It always surprises me when a famous movie star or a pop star or a popular person says it, so it must be true. Or dare I say it, when religious speakers say it, that means it has to be true too, right? Has to be 100% true. I heard so-and-so say it. Whenever we come across teachings or things with scripture, we need to put it to the test. But more on that shortly. But I'm often surprised, and probably you are too, when people believe that famous or essential people lie to us. I don't know about you, but I don't really believe Snoop Dogg orders from Menulog, or Eva Longoria dyes her hair at home with products from L'Oreal. These people are being paid to say these things, aren't they? To say good things about these products, to encourage us to buy them. So we know that important people can lie to us. Or should I say, people that we think are important can lie to us. Another way we can believe the misinformation out there is by believing everything we read on screen or in social media. From our passage, it seems that Paul was speaking of a letter that was accredited to him. A letter that he did not write. Look, we live in a time when it is hard to know whether to believe newspapers, magazines, or social media, or anything really on the internet. We know that there is false, fake news out there. There is news made to incite us to feel something. But it goes back to this old saying, if it's on the internet, it must be true. And we all know that that is simply not true. So what's the answer? How do we know what is truth and what is a lie? Well, when it comes to issues of faith, Paul has a few suggestions for us. And they revolve around a simple idea, and that is this. We test it. When Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, he meant that. But how do we avoid being deceived? The Bible tells us to put things to the test and see if it's God's will. So when we hear things, we need not panic or become easily duped, because we can test these things. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22, we read this. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Did you pick up that last bit? Let me read it to you again. Hold on to good and reject evil. I've been following the media lately, and I've been coming across churches who have been meeting together. And one of the reasons that they say that they should meet together is from this passage in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And I want to use this passage as an example of a test. So let's read the passage, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. These churches that have been meeting are using this as sort of a proof test, proof text, I should say, to justify defying public health orders and for their church to meet. Some folks say, look, the Bible says it. We shouldn't give up meeting together. It's God's will. He wants us to be together. We should listen to God, not man. That's an interesting thought. Let's put it to the test. Well, let's ask the first question. Is it good to meet together? Absolutely. John Dixon pointed out this week, and Jim, without even knowing it, prayed about it earlier, talking about how most Christians right now are desperate to get back to normal, everyday church life. I'm sure you are the same. I know for me, I want to see people back in this building. But this passage is not directed at their non-attendance. And it's not about obeying God or obeying man. This passage is a warning to not be lazy Christians, to not get in the slack habit or custom of neglecting meeting together. It has no relevance to the suspension of public meetings for the good of the community. You've heard folks say, when the government banned church services entirely, as some regimes already do, are you going to accept that public health order too? Well, the answer is no. That's when it becomes right to disobey the government. Because in that case, the motive of the ban isn't about public health, it's about the destruction of the faith. So we test the idea, is it good to meet together? The answer is still yes. But this passage is an appeal to not be slack about meeting together. In our context today, it's about not being slack about meeting online, about tuning in to our Facebook stream. It's about not using social distancing and lockdown as an excuse to skip out on small groups that are meeting via Zoom. But when we take this passage and we apply it out of context, when we use it for misinformation, it causes division and disharmony. And the Bible has a lot to say on that. Hebrews 133 verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the love and the God of love and peace will be with you. Unity. 2 Philippians 2, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Unity. Do you want me to keep going about how we should live in harmony and unity with each other? Because I can. Colossians 3:14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds all together in perfect unity. Romans 14:19. Let us, therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification, unity. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same functions. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Unity. And finally, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. The Bible has a lot to say about unity and bringing peace. Look, I'm of the opinion that there is no biblical mandate for churches to defy public health orders at this point in time. But instead, there is a call to keep meeting together in any way that we can. That passage of Hebrews is a call to not allow this time to make us lazy, to allow us to be lazy and skip the important things of meeting together. There's no biblical mandate because we're taking the health and safety of everyone that we know and looking out for them. That's why we're meeting online in this format. What was that passage in Hebrews? Bring in the good, reject evil. That's about when it contradicts the word of God. That's what evil means here. But let me encourage you one step further. Are we being agents of misinformation? I don't know about you, but I constantly see it on social media. People posting or adding a comment. I want to ask you right now, before you post anything, ask yourself, is it helpful? Is it creating unity? Or is it about causing division? In Philippians 1, 27, we find, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you want to post something online and you do believe that it's helpful and you do believe that it's creating unity and you honestly believe that this is information that you need to share, information that will build others up, then remember that we have to speak to people with love and respect. Love and respect. But back to Paul. See, not only does Paul in the opening of chapter 2 disavow these teachings, but he also reminds the Thessalonians what he had taught them earlier. The day of the Lord has not yet come, with all the future blessings that a believer in Christ eagerly awaits. But notice what Paul does do. See, he doesn't want to frighten the Thessalonians. He wants to comfort them and reassure them that there is a future hope that lies still within the gospel. And it's a future hope that we still have today. And that's where we place our hope, in the future, in a God who is just and in the Messiah who will deliver justice. So, my friends, as we close, let me ask you this. Are you careful in what you believe? When people see you, do they see you trusting in God's word for our answers? Because people need to see that we trust in God and we trust in his word for our answers and our hope. And let us not give up meeting together. Sure, we can't be physically with each other. Let us build each other up. Let us encourage one another. Hey, if you want encouragement, man, jump on one of our small groups. They are absolutely chock-a-block full of encouragement. And we do this not because we want to simply obey the government or not cause a fuss, but because we want God to be glorified. This is all about our Father's glory. So be careful what you believe. Test it. Make sure it's God's will. Amen. As we conclude our service, we want to thank the great people at Compassion for allowing us to use the Colin video, and the people from EMU Music who have allowed us to include some of their songs in our service today. So we're going to finish with a song once again. This song is entitled, Who Is Like You? And let me say, until we see you next time, God bless, stay safe. Amen.
Life and perfect love, Jesus, Jesus. You conquered the grave and you rescued us. The Son of God, you reign. The victory of your eternal love. The Son of Man, you say. You conquered the grave and you rescued us. The Son of God, you reign. The victory of your eternal love. Pays the debt to give us freedom, Jesus.